We got to celebrate the men of our church and recognize men and honored them. The men in our lives, men who have influenced our spiritual walk. But today we see Jesus's emphasis on the value of children. Children are valuable not because of what they can or can't do, but because they are human beings created in the image and likeness of God. Their worth is inherent. Sadly, in our society today, children are treated more like commodities and or burdens than people with inherent value and worth. They're large groups of people who don't think most people should be having children because the world is overpopulated, which is not true. There are people who demand the right to kill children at any point of development from conception to shortly after birth, for any reason whatsoever. There are many others who complain about the high cost of having children. I read an article this week that says raising a child costs on average $300,000. I know that can't be true because I know more than one family with five children where the husband works and the wife stays home, maybe working part-time, and they are not struggling to provide food, shelter, or clothing for their family. It's all about how you choose to spend your money and your time. There are people who demand the right to have children. They think that surrogacy and fertility treatments should be paid at taxpayer expense, that I have the right to have a child my way, and you need to pay for it. But surrogacy is an exploitative process, and many fertility treatments are highly unethical. Then there are people who use their children to make themselves feel better, often putting burdens on children, whether they be academic or athletic or political or as a status symbol. So whether it be overpopulation, cost of children, abortion rights, the right to have children, the issues are all about the existing adults involved. Rarely is it about the children. They don't think about what is best for the children themselves. None of these issues considers the rights and the needs of children as first and foremost. In our gospel reading today, the disciples tried to prioritize adult needs over the needs of children. They even thought they were prioritizing Jesus' valuable time. After all, Jesus was so busy teaching, preaching, performing miracles that sometimes he didn't get to eat lunch. He got tired. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has a goal to meet. And so the disciples try to shoo the parents away who are trying to secure a blessing from Jesus over their infants. Now, it was common practice in Jesus' day for parents to bring children to the elders for the purposes of obtaining a blessing on the Day of Atonement, for example. In Luke's gospel, this is probably not the case because the Day of Atonement occurs in the fall, and this journey is taking place in the spring, unless this is completely out of order. But it was also common for parents to have rabbis bless children on their first birthday. So maybe some of these babies were about a year old. We don't know the exact circumstances, but they wanted their children to be blessed by Jesus. Matthew and Mark use the word children, not babies, so a variety of ages is likely included. But Luke chooses to emphasize the smallest and most vulnerable of children, the infants. The fact that parents are bringing children to Jesus shows that they recognize his authority, at least as a rabbi, but surely many people saw him and knew him as someone who was much more than a rabbi. So Jesus rebukes the disciples. Blessing a children is not a waste of his time. In fact, he says that it is the kingdom of God belongs to children and those who are childlike. He then goes on to say that the only way to enter the kingdom of God is to receive it like a child. This is the second time that Jesus has used children as an example of how to receive the kingdom. You may recall from all the way back in Luke chapter 9, sometime before Jesus started this journey on the way to Jerusalem, after the transfiguration, the disciples started arguing among themselves about who's the greatest, who's the most important. And at that point, Jesus kind of overhears what they're saying. He knows their hearts. He takes a child, he puts it in their midst, and stands by that child, says, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among you, this is the one who is great." Children are valuable to God. And Matthew's version of the story, recorded in Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Unless you are converted and become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Children have something to teach us by their very being. Their dependency on others, especially the babies and the infants, as in today's gospel, serves as a reminder of our total dependence upon God for provision, for protection, for all that is necessary for physical and eternal life. Children are limited. They have nothing to contribute as far as being productive members of society, especially infants. They can't perform works, but they are inherently loving and trusting. They embrace the world with awe and wonder. Everything is wow for the little ones. This is precisely how we should approach God. We should never lose that sense of awe and wonder. God should always be wow. Another lesson we see in this passage about the value of children is that the spiritual care of children is not a waste of time. It is important. Neglecting the spiritual care of a child is not only to do disservice to them, but harm. Too many people today say, "I'm not going to force my beliefs on my child. I'll just let them decide when they get older." No, we don't force our beliefs on children. This passage has absolutely nothing to do with forcing beliefs on children. It is giving children access to the presence of Jesus. Giving children access to the person of Jesus. How do we give children access to the person and presence of Jesus? We pray with them. We give them access to the sacraments. We take them to worship. And we are always teaching children, whether or not we do so intentionally, by what we say and what we do, how we live our lives every day. Making a decision to let children decide later is still teaching them your beliefs. You're teaching them your priorities and your values, and you leave them to open to being indoctrinated by others, because there are plenty of other people who are eager to teach children all kinds of things. So it's better to be intentional about teaching children, as it is our God-given duty as stewards of God's precious creations. Furthermore, as of 2019, statistics in the U.S. still showed that 2/3 of the people who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior do so before age 18, and 43% of that group does so before the age of 12. Children can come to know Jesus. I made my profession of faith when I was 9 years old. My sister was 12 or 13. My brother was 5. I've done communicants classes with children as young as 3 and a half, though generally it's more 4 or 5 year olds. Children are blessings, gifts from God with their own value. Now we as a group are those whose children are grown. Our grandchildren are mostly grown. Some of us have great grandchildren who are little, but that doesn't mean you always get to see them very often. But that doesn't mean that this passage isn't for us. We've already seen that we can learn from children how we can enter the kingdom of God, that we receive it. The kingdom is something we receive. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. We can't acquire it. We can't gain it. We receive it. It's theirs. God has given it to us. We receive it. We receive it humbly and gratefully, with a sense of wow. Children remind us that we are God's precious children. Valued creation made in God's image and likeness, that we have inherent value and worth, not because of what we can do, not because of what we don't do, not because of what we contribute, but because God made us and God loves us. This gospel is also for us because we're reminded that God values those who are the most vulnerable. It is therefore our duty to defend and protect those in our community who are the most vulnerable. Thembeforeus.com is one resource where you can find out about issues that are affecting the most vulnerable, particularly children and their rights. Their tagline is children's rights over adult desires. We can use our voices and our votes to make sure that children aren't being used as personal and political pawns. We can connect with our local foster care system and find out ways to support children who are in foster care. I know that this church has a wonderful history of supporting Children's Hope Alliance, which is one of my favorite organizations to support. We used to be called Barium Springs Home for Children, and then they merged with Grandfather Homes, and it's Children's Hope Alliance. A wonderful, wonderful organization. The Gathering Place and the Food Pantry both right now are trying to make sure that children get fed this summer, so your contributions to those places help. We'll be starting Operation Christmas Child outreach next month. Remember that as we pack these boxes, the gospel goes with those boxes. And never underestimate the power of prayer. Are there children whom you know for whom you can pray by name? By your prayers, you are bringing children into the presence of Jesus. Bringing children closer to Jesus is the most important thing that you can do for them. Jesus desires to bless them and to bring them into his kingdom. Pray for youth pastors in our community, children's ministers. Do you drive around churches and see some VBS signs out right now? Pray for those VBS programs that are going on. Celebrate that children are being brought closer to Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you love children, that you made us and created us. We were all children once. We were all vulnerable. Some of us, as we're getting older, feel vulnerable again. And we know that you care for those who are most vulnerable. Lord, help us to be advocates for children, to value them, to treasure them, and to bring them into your presence. We pray for the children in our community that are hungry, for the children in our community that need a home, for the children in our community that are suffering from abuse and neglect. Most of all, Lord, we pray for children to come to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you that you see the children and that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.